The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead at two Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Briley, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell in the studio. It's Epsom and Ripon on Tuesday afternoon, Sedgefield and Wolverhampton in the evening. We also have racing over in Ireland from Ballinrobe as well. So five meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. A busy week just gone by, Mick, and we're going to start with the Monday jury, which looks at some of that action. We're also going to touch on some of the news and then move on to Tuesday's stuff. So a good week, wasn't it, Mick, before we get stuck into it?
Yes, it certainly was, Mark. Record prize money at York. They really had pushed the boat out as far as that goes, and they got the fields and the quality of racing to as a result of their initiative to increase the prize money.
Yeah, it paid off. Very good week at York. We'll move into the Monday jury. A few of the questions surround some of the runners at York. Starting with the first question, Mick, how would you like to see Australia campaign this autumn?
I don't think it really matters how I'd like to see him campaign. I think that's already mapped out. I think they're almost ruling out the Ark, and I think both the Irish champion and our champion Stakes will be his next two runs, and then we'll see from there, but I think we'll see him at 10 furlongs from now on.
Okay. What do you make of the consideration that he might go over a mile in the QE2 and take on Kingman?
You think that'll happen?
I'd like to see it happen. I don't know whether it will, but it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would. Yeah. But we'd have to miss one of the champions then, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I think he'd probably do the Irish champion and then the QE2 if he wants to take him.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. We'll wait and see what happens there, Mark.
Would you take Kingman on if it was yours?
No.
Fair enough. Moving on to Gruder next. Are you writing to Gruder off for the Ark after a York defeat?
I don't think she should have run at York, personally. I don't think it was necessary. Only 26 days after the King George. We've now had, Mark, the first, second and third in the King George all beaten next time out.
Yeah.
So don't tell me she didn't have a hard race there, because she did. The fourth horse, they can hardly get him up in his box to go out to exercise.
Yeah.
He's still feeling the effects of the race. So, she may have visually looked impressive, but you don't win a Group 1 like that and beaten the elders and the colts. And there was no need for her to go there. They should have just kept her fresh for the Ark. I think she may well have left her Ark behind on the Naismile last week. Having all said all that, I don't think the winner got enough credit. Tapestry.
Yeah.
Joe O'Brien has always held her in the highest regard. Not much of her. She's probably a bit fragile, but she's certainly got an engine. And I do think that her performance has been sadly underestimated following the wake that Togruder's defeat issued, and the winner got no credit at all.
Mm. Yeah, it was all about Togruder disappointing rather than the winner doing well. Yeah, obviously in the Yorkshire Oaks, she was against her own sex. She didn't get any weight allowance or fillies allowance or anything. Going back to the Ark, she would, wouldn't she? She get plenty of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that helped her to win the King George, didn't it? To getting the 3-year-old weight for age allowance, getting the fillies allowance, that helped her win the Ark back against own sex in the King George, back against her own sex in the Yorkshire Oaks. She had none of those advantages. It was like level playing field again, and she bumped into one, plus the effects of the hard race that she had at I know John Wilson said she didn't have a hard race, but you don't win Group 1 races like that without having a hard race. I'm sorry, but you don't.
Yeah.
And it leaves a mark, and there she was 26 days after it, lining up at York.
Yeah. She was almost too impressive in the King George, wasn't she? So it made it look as if it wasn't a hard race when, like you say, you don't win a Group 1 without having a hard race.
No, so. Absolutely. Yeah.
So would you expect we'll see her in the Ark?
I think if all goes well, between now and then, I just wish they hadn't gone there and just gone fresh to the Ark.
Yeah.
But there you are. They decided to go for the Yorkshire Oaks, and let's hope they haven't left the Ark behind there.
Hopefully not. Did we witness a potential classic winner at the meeting?
Possibly. I was very impressed with one or two of the two-year-olds I saw. The Convivo Maiden was very strong. Whether it's got classic winners in it, I don't know, but the winner, Whitelake, I loved him in the paddock, and yeah. I couldn't believe when I heard the SP 25-1 with Ryan Moore on board, you know, as if, like, Luca Kamani ring Ryan Moore and say, would like to ride a no-hoper for me in the Convivial. Yeah, yes, please, Luca.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do nicely. He was very impressive and still a work in progress. And I know Willie Haggis thinks the world of the horse he ran in the race. It was about five or six lengths back. But as far as a potential classic winner at the meeting, if there was one, I think it possibly Cursory Glance, who was second in the Lowther. Now, she looks the type to make up into a really smart mile at three, and I could see her being a major player in the 1,000 guineas.
Okay. While we're on the subject of the 1,000 guineas, Mick, Tiggy Wiggy, do you think she'd stay that trip if they aimed right?
I don't think she will, no. She's just...
very fast, isn't she?
She's all speed, isn't she? I wish they'd run her in the Nunthorpe.
Yeah. She would have had a big chance, wouldn't she?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Who do you regard as the main British and Irish hope in the Melbourne Cup?
I have no idea, Mark. No idea whatsoever. It's a race I don't get too excited about. A 2 mile handicap on the other side of the world. No, not for me.
It's the race that stops a nation, Mick.
Yeah, well... kick on.
Fair enough. There's still a long time before they even get to the first quarantine stage, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's maybe a bit early in the day. So nothing screamed out in the Ebo?
I mean, the Ebo was a very good race. The winner, Mutual Regard, his form had been franked. I can't believe again how he went off at 21, considering the form with Pale Mimosa had been franked the day before. And, you know, I do think there's an advantage to race with the pace in the Ebor, which could stand him in good stead if he does go to Australia.
Yeah.
Palace Sato came from far too far back. It wasn't so much that he came from too far back that beat him, but he made his ground up too quick. He panicked.
Mm.
As they turned in, he realised they weren't stopping up front. I mean, they'd gone a goodish gallop, but they weren't stopping, and he panicked and made his ground up too quick.
Yeah.
If he'd done it gradually, it might have been a different story, but he just used him up mid-race, and you can't do that. You can't do that and go and win a major handicap like that. So I think it was an advantage to race handy, and that would stand him in good stead if they decided to go. It's a hard race to get into, isn't it? And you know, and end of a long season here, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, it's not something I get too excited about.
Okay. Give us a horse who didn't win at York who you fancy to score next time.
Now then, the horse of Willie Mullins is that finished fifth in the Melrose.
Yeah.
He's just come over from France. The name just escapes me a moment. I'm sure you'll find it for me.
Yeah.
He won a claimer in Chantilly in June, and it was his first start for Willie. And he was made a lot of use of. Hannigan rode him. There was a bit of money for him as well. And he made the run in about two out then. Then I expected him to just fall in the hole, but he didn't. He rallied. Ursidae, or something like it's called. He rallied and finished, hung on for fifth. And the Melrose is really the three-year-old's Ebor, isn't it? I mean, it's a fantastic race, the Melrose. And I thought, well... I think I said at the time, we're probably looking at the tri-fertile favourite there. So, and he looks the type to do, as well. I liked him in the paddock when I did the paddock preview. Bonny horse with bags of bone and bags of substance about him. And I thought, may not see him too much more of him on the flat. I don't know. He ran a fine race in the... Willie might have other plans, but I certainly can't wait to see him over hurdles. And he'd be the one for me.
Okay.
To take out of the meeting.
Yeah. Here we go. Uradel.
Uradel. I was close.
Yeah.
I was close. Yeah, and he runs in those colours, the purple with the yellow V. All the good horses of Willie's run with the yellow cap, you know, ones I mean.
Yeah. McMahon colours, isn't it?
That's
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So he'd be the one for me to take out the meeting. But there was plenty in the two-year-old races. The sales race was a very good race. That and the first race on day two, that will work out well.
Mm.
yeah, there's plenty to take out of the meeting. I probably even missed them out on that, but cursory glance as far as the potential classics and the other horse of Willie's, whatever he does with him, he's got a real potential, excuse me, star in his hands.
Okay, a potential triumph hurdle horse then coming out of the Ebor meeting, which is good.
He's definitely got the stamp for it, yep. Mark.
Okay. What did you make of the Jamie Spencer retirement news?
No idea. I can't get my head around that. It's a bizarre one. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Jamie or the Sheikh. David Redford seemed as... although he made a brave stab at trying to explain it, nobody seemed to want to give the real reason for it.
Yeah.
Just a very strange out of left field, wasn't it? At the time, the timing was bizarre, middle of the Ebor meeting. An inexplicable one.
Hmm. Just as if you woke up one morning and just thought, well, I don't want to do this anymore, isn't it? The way it came out, but... he's 34, isn't he?
Yeah.
So it's not as if he could easily change his mind, couldn't he, and come back?
Of course he could. Yeah. But it's just everything about it was bizarre. The timing, everything. You know, he's right in the middle of a big major festival like that, and it's just odd. The whole thing. Odd. Nobody seems to want to tell the truth about it.
Yeah. Sure, we'll find out more in the future. Away from the Monday jury, the Mick, just a couple of other things to talk about. We'll mention the Wow Signal to start with, an impressive winner of the pre-morning, a Group 1 success for trainer John Quinn. Obviously, yeah. Sean Quinn works for us quite a lot. And he's now won a Group 1 on the flat, and he's won a couple of Grade 1s over Chums, if I can say it.
Triumph hurdle.
Yeah, so it's not a bad feat, that, is it?
Absolutely. And fair play to them as well. They've always said he was a good horse from day one, haven't they? And he certainly backed that up. And great to see Frankie in double Group 1 winning form in France yesterday. I mean, we were touching on it at York during the week. I think he went to York each day with one ride, you know, and things like that. It was just, you know, ridiculous for a jockey of his calibre. I know he doesn't sort of chase rides like he used to, but, you know, it's just bizarre that Frankie doesn't get the support that that his ability deserves, really.
Yeah, the other one was Ribbons, who was another British raider to win a Group 1 in France. It was a good day for the British raiders.
And if she wasn't given the ride by Frankie that she was given, she wouldn't have won, because they went off very hard in that. Frankie had nothing to do with the early gallop in that testing conditions, and that's helped her win it, because she's never really looked as though she wanted ground as soft as that before, and she was up about three grades.
Yeah.
And we know she was related to do it to Grandma's Soviet song, wasn't she?
Yeah.
So great to see her do it and do it the way she did it as well. Well done to James Fanshawe for having the courage to send her there and run her in that Group 1.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you in the news, Mick, before I move on?
Not really. I just as I said, well done to John Quinn. I think Glenn Eagles needs a mention. He was very impressive in the Futurity Stakes in the Curry yesterday. Always throws up a good horse of Futurity. Mm. And Glenn Eagles, who he really does look the part, looks like a three-year-old now, and he showed a nice turn of foot. He looks to have a wonderful temperament as well, which is just as important. And look at the horses that they've won it with: Giant's Causeway, Hawkwing, Oratorio, you know, just to name but three, you know, always won by a good horse, and he's no exception, I don't think.
Okay. Right, let's move on. Let's go on to Tuesday's racing. Then Mick's picked out three races for us, a couple at Epsom and one at Ripon, and we'll get his thoughts in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday. Mick's going to start with a couple of selections at Epsom and then one at Ripon. The first race that he's picked out is the 3.25 at Epsom, which is the John Akehurst Handicap, which is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. And a couple of them coming into this in good form, Mick. We've got Duke Cosimo, who arrives in winning form after winning at Ripon last time. We've got Mission Approved, who seems to hit the crossbar more often than not. Plenty in here with chances. Who do you like?
I'll go down them in race card order on the shortlist. The first one is the aforementioned Mission Approved. Luca Comani's trains. Shane Kelly takes the ride. He's £12 higher now than for his only handicap win. That was when he was trained by Sir Michael Stout. And this year his mark's gone from 81 to 89 without winning. But he does seem to be coping admirably with his rising mark in defeat. But it is a bit frustrating that he can't get his head in front, isn't it? And, you know, this is not easy either for him. Huntsman's Close used to be trained by Michael Bell, now with Roger Charlton. Not a horse I can get right, but George Baker takes the ride, and he did run well for Baker on his penultimate outing. The same mark as very unlucky in running at Goodwood, Glorious Goodwood last time, and should run his race. He just didn't get the breaks in that 32 Red Cup Constellation race. There'll be plenty giving him another chance after that unlucky run. Duke Cosimo, as you said, he another one who used to be trained by Sir Michael Stout in his earlier days. He got the St Wilfred Constellation race at Ripon 10 days ago under his belt. Only went up three for that, which is probably fair enough. And he's won two of his four starts since the blinkers were applied. And if he handles the track, it's his first visit to Epsom, if he handles the track, he must go well. But I'm going to go from left field a little bit, not that far, but Arctic Feeling for Richard Fay. Won this in June. I think it was this race in June. No, it wasn't this race. It was a course and distance race in 2013, and he's only a pound higher than that win. And he comes in really good form. Goes well for Sammy Joe Bell. That was a really good performance at York under Sammy Joe last month, and an even better effort in defeat off of this mark at Haydock. And with his track experience, I think he could outrun his price, because I think the first three that we've mentioned are going to take a big chunk out of the market, and I think Arctic Feeling might go off 8-9-1, and with his track course and distance track form, he'll do for me. The other one to mention is another long distance traveller, Keith Dalglish, has sent down Salvatore Fury, who won at Carlisle last month, and has been placed in all three starts, and bettered the win when third in a 21-runner Goodwood handicap last time, and is only a pound higher. So another one who could well outrun its price. But I'm going to give the vote to Arctic Feeling. But the North have got a strong hand in this with Duke Cosimo, Arctic Feeling and Salvatore Fury.
Yeah. Arctic Feeling then, a nice each-way price, potentially in the 325 at Epsom. The 355 is where we'll go next. This is the Terry Mills handicap, which is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. And can we start here with Royal Connection, Mick, who has hit the crossbar in his last two outings, the latest of them being over this course and distance when going down half a length behind Weekend at Burnie's.
Yeah, Richard Hannon has booked Jimmy Fortune to ride Royal Connection. Hughes has been in the saddle the last couple. Close second over this course and distance last time. A pound higher here, but thereabouts again for sure. Stays further than this, she gets a mile. So the harder they go, the better the chance I think she's got. She gets the £5 weight for age allowance, and again, with that course and distance experience, she's got to go on the shortlist. 50 Shades of Grey, the form profile looks slightly disappointing, and he is yet to win a handicap, but it's still early days. Not over-raced this horse. Another three-year-old gets the £5 weight for age. But now, with the weather forecast as it is, although it's to be warmer tomorrow, warmer on Tuesday, rain is forecast on Monday, and this horse gives a distinct impression that really soft ground would help him. So if it did turn into a bit of a soft ground slog, 50 Shades of Grey might just come into his own. But I'm going to give the vote to Sky Train, who's trained by Mark Johnson. Dane O'Neill takes the ride. If he can recapture that third of 19 behind Extremity at Glorious Goodwood, that was a much stronger race than this. He's got to go well here. He was beaten the last twice, but may just have been unsuited by the tracks, Brighton and Ripon, tracks he hadn't run at before. I mean, Epsom's no gimme, is it? But
no.
He handled Goodwood okay, so he every chance he'll handle Epsom. And if he does, with the visor replacing the blinkers, I'd give him a a big chance. It's that Glorious Goodwood form is very strong in the context of this.
Yeah.
So I'll give the vote to Skytrain, who again should go off at a decent price.
Yeah, a couple of nice prices potentially then so far. To Ripon we go for their 4.15. This is the City of Ripon Stakes, which is a Class 3 handicap of the extended mile and one furlong. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 13 of them in the lineup here. Mick, plenty of them coming into this in good form as well, the likes of Truancy and Sophisticated Air coming into this in winning form. Woodacre has been doing well as well.
Yeah.
You could give plenty of chances here.
Yeah, you could. Truancy, we'll start with Truancy. The mark's moved up to 80 now, so a career best is required, but his mark's already improved £11 this year, so he may well be able to cope with it. Joey Haynes is taking off £3 and has run well on both of his visits to Ripon, including a course and distance win. Very consistent. The stable continue in great form, and he's got to be taken seriously. Woodacre, you mentioned, course and distance winner two outings ago. Just went down fighting under the £6 penalty next time at Beverley. So effectively only £2 higher here. And again, back to Ripon, scene of his last win, must have a great chance. But again, I'm going to just go away from the those two and stay with Mark Johnson again, his Master of Finance. I've been following this horse ever since I saw him make his racecourse debut at York at two. And he's just making steady, if unspectacular, progress, this horse. He won his second race of his career at Musselburgh on his seasonal comeback, placed in a couple of his subsequent starts. Had the misfortune to run into Clon Brulee, who was in really scintillating form at Newmarket last time. He's won right-handed. And he won at Musselburgh, of course, right-handed. I think Ripon is tailor-made for Master of Finance. And I do think he's probably improving enough to cope with this mark of 88. So I'll take a chance on Master of Finance in a fascinating mix of the three-year-olds and the elders here. And being a three-year-old, he gets that £8 weight for age over this extended mile. Well, an extended nine furlongs.
Yeah. Okay then. So that's three horses that could be potentially nice prices, Mickey.
Might reward a nice little each way Trixie mark. Arctic Feeling in the 3.25 at Epsom. Skytrain in the 3.55 at Epsom. And Master of Finance in the 4.15 at Ripon.
Okay. Good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Ross Briley, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell in the studio. It's Epsom and Ripon in the afternoon, Sedgefield and Wolverhampton on Tuesday evening, and there's a Tuesday evening card in Ballinrobe as well over in Ireland, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.